My guest today is Robert Kane. Robert, how you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks.
What do you do?
Well, that's a big question.
We're big guys.
My day job is working as the solutions architect for Pragmatic Works out of Florida. And Pragmatic Works specializes in SQL Server business intelligence consulting and training and tools. We have a line of software tools that aid in development, documentation, testing, and so forth. And I actually work for the tools division, helping to our clients incorporate our tools into their environment. I also train on those tools. Also, sometimes like a product evangelist, going to trade shows and introducing people to our tool set. So lots of different hats there. I also do videos for Pluralsight. Pluralsight's got some great video training. Great. And, of course, I also do some all co-authored 4 books and speaking, public speaking.
Dev Space
Conference. So I guess I'm just an overachieving workaholic.
You're a busy guy. I know that. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the Pluralsight stuff. What are you focusing on these days?
My course that's just about to come out is called Beginning PowerShell Scripting for Developers, and it focuses on how to actually develop full-blown PowerShell applications. It doesn't require any pre-knowledge of PowerShell. It takes you from knowing nothing all the way through creating modules that you can then redistribute to your coworkers, friends, and so forth.
All right. And for developers?
Yes. I guess anybody with any need for PowerShell could do it. But for PowerShell, one of the things about PowerShell is it has long been the domain of IT, systems administrators.
Absolutely.
But I'm trying to get it to be known also as a development tool. One of my sessions here at the DevSpaces conference was specifically focused on developers' use of PowerShell and some of the things that they could do with it.
So what is there that is specific to developers about PowerShell?
Well, one of the key things I like is the ability of PowerShell to compile C# code on the fly and then use it within PowerShell. So, for example, let's say I had a .cs file that I have a class defined in. I would like to test the class, do some quick making sure that properties are working, it's returning correct values from methods and so forth. Well, all I have to do is say, hey, I want to get the content of that CS file, stick it into this variable, and then there's a commandlet called add type. I just say add type and tell it that here's the variable that holds the file, and this is a C# file. It also works with VB. So if I've got a VB file, but then it actually just instantiates that class into memory.
It'll compile it
first. Compiles that class into memory, and then you can then instantiate new variables based on that class. So now I have the ability through the interactive command line to say, okay, create me a new instance of the class. Now let's go test out this property. Let me go run this method. And you can quickly test your class to make sure it does everything you want it to do.
Oh, okay, so this is more ad hoc testing as opposed to formalized, repeatable unit testing as part of a continuous integration process.
Exactly. It's for a developer to quickly test his class.
Quickly is
to make sure
that's the advantage that
exactly.
we have with this. If I want to use some formalized testing, I have to create a project for that.
Absolutely.
I have to fire Visual Studio for that. I have to have somewhere to run those tests.
And likewise, it can also be great for exploring new classes, whether or not you've got the CS file form, or maybe you've just got a class that comes in a DLL part of the system framework, you can generate a new variable based on that class, and then go explore it, play with it. What happens if I use this property? What happens if I set this property? So it can become a great platform for just learning, say, the .NET framework and trying out different things. If I tweak this property, what happens? And without having to, because right now, what do most C# or VB.NET developers do? They develop a console application, and then they can then interact with it that way. Well, rather than having to create a full-blown console app just to learn new features of one of the .NET classes, why not just do it in PowerShell? You don't have to generate new projects. All you have to do is just say, hey, I want to create a new variable based on this class. Boom. And now I'm using it. It's just that easy.
You're right. I have a folder called test, C/test.
Yep.
And under there I have about 30 projects. I have so many that every once in a while I have to go through and clean them out because they start to clutter up the folder. And they're nothing but that. They're console apps to say, how do I use this this library?
Or every developer I run into has that.
There's a little bit of friction on that. Firing up Visual Studio, firing up. I mean, it'll take me a couple of minutes just to even get started in instantiating the class.
Exactly.
But PowerShell's a lot quicker then.
Oh, absolutely. You know, one line of code, and I'm up and running.
Do you run it at the command line, or tell me how I get started using PowerShell?
Well, PowerShell comes in two flavors. There is the command line mode, which is very interactive. It's really great for exploring things, for loading up a new variable, trying things out, or maybe I'm just IT guy who wants to like run a bunch of backups. I just issue those commands from the command line and away I go.
So we say I can just type cmd, open up a command window, and PowerShell is there, or do I have to do something?
Well, it's not exactly cmd, it's just PowerShell.exe. PowerShell is the file you run.
It's the PowerShell command line.
Exactly, PowerShell command line.
The old DOS command line. I still call it the DOS command line.
Yeah, I do too. You know, us old timers. But yes, it actually is a PowerShell console window.
Okay.
It very much resembles the old DOS command windows, but you're actually able to instantiate PowerShell commands within that window.
Oh, okay. All right, so the command line is one way, one mode
Correct.
Of using it. What's the other one?
The other one is through what they call the ISE, or Integrated Scripting Environment. Mm-hmm. Through the Integrated Scripting Environment, you are able to develop scripts inside PowerShell. And by default, the top half holds your scripts, and it's got multiple tabs to hold your scripts. And at the bottom, you have the same interactive console window that you might see if you were to launch the console separately.
Right.
So at the bottom, I can still type in my interactive commands. I can still do things, test things out. And once I get it like I like it, I can then come up here to the script window at the top and do things there. I can also write scripts at the top, highlight it, and then run just that particular command or run the whole script to go do things.
Which mode are you typically in?
Typically, I deal with the ISE, but that's mostly because I am actually developing longer scripts to do different things for some of the work I do.
Well, can you tell me a little about what you're using PowerShell for?
Well, one of the things is maybe generating some scripts that will like deduplicate data. Sometimes I deal with a client. This is a great example. I had a project I was doing for a client, and they were getting data from a vendor. That vendor was sending us files, and they swore up and down, no duplicates. Well, of course, I'm trying to import
this
data.
Stories get in.
And, of course, there's duplicates. And so I emailed them back and said, I'm sorry, this says duplicates. And they were like, no, our data does not have duplicates. You know, it's like, okay. So in 10 minutes, I whipped out a little 9-line PowerShell script. And these files, there were, I don't know, say 200 files. Each file had between 20,000 and a million rows of data in it.
And they were text files.
They were just common delimited text files that had, each one's character return line feed at the end.
Yep.
And so I just wrote a little PowerShell script that would loop through each one. And fortunately, they were actually sorted on the key. So all I had to do was retain the current line and the line before it to compare. But, Zoom blew through it, 9 lines of code. Output, I get this nice little file that gets output that says, okay, file XYZ, lines 53 and 54 have duplicate keys. Lines 78 and 79 are duplicates. And so it then spit this out for me, and I just, within 15 minutes, I'm emailing the vendor back going, no, here's the exact list of duplicates that are in the files.
How did you find that so fast?
Yeah, and there's out of all these files, there's maybe 20 of them that had duplicates. And here you go, here they are, go fix them.
That's funny because how I would have solved that problem. I bet you can guess is I would have imported it into SQL Server or Excel if it were a little bit smaller, and then done my deduping in there and using those tools, which would not have been 10 minutes.
That's true. I mean, you could definitely, I know a lot of guys who would have done the exact same thing, import it to a SQL Server table or Excel, try to do some sorting, but it's a lot of overhead to do all that.
Yes.
Again, PowerShell, one of its features is low overhead, low friction to get something done.
Tell me about the transition. If you're already a developer and you're proficient in, say, some object-oriented language like C#, is this an easy transition to PowerShell?
It really is. What
are the obstacles? What's the hardest thing for developers to learn?
Not overcomplicating it, because there are a lot of things I can do in PowerShell that are much more lengthy, complex to do in even like C# or VB.NET. If I want to call a REST method, I simply invoke one line of code, invoke-REST method, and I can make a call. For example, one of the examples I did here showed gathering a information from a podcast, an RSS feed.
That was mine.
And downloaded it, and it then took it, and they were able to parse what was in that RSS file very easily. So one line of code to go bring back this REST information. I had another example where the United States Postal Service, you may not know this, runs an API service where you can send a zip code in, and it will then return the city and state associated with it.
I didn't know that. In fact, I think that API is available in Azure as well.
Okay. So with this, I simply made the call to say, hey, is this postal code valid? And it says, sure, it's in, 90210 is in Beverly Hills, California. Boom.
I could have told you that.
But so, again, this can be a great way for a developer to take a file and clean it up.
Ah, okay, yeah. Address correction, address scrubbing.
Absolutely.
Is a common use of those kind of services.
Well, and it also took it, another part of the same example was the XML coming back was kind of ugly. You know, it was all objects, object, property, 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 property. So the names weren't strongly in there. So basically, we downloaded it and then recreated the file, but using good names for each different one.
Oh, I see. Why do you think it is that developers aren't adopting PowerShell quickly? Why are they? But this is my perception anyway. I think they still see it as the domain of the network admins, the DevOps guys.
I think that has a lot to do with it. There is this predefined perception of, well, I'm a developer. That's an IT ops tool. I don't need to be using it. But frankly, I think once people learn it, everybody who touches PowerShell seems to love it. It's great for doing especially both repeatable things, but also for those one-off jobs. You know, deduplicating data. You're talking about having to fire up a new app, doing SQL Server. You know, there's a lot of overhead to doing that. So why put yourself through that level of extra maintenance, extra headaches, you know, when you can easily pull out PowerShell and get your solution done quickly and then move on with your life?
Okay, so it's just a matter of awareness, that getting people aware of the power of a tool like PowerShell.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think once people learn how powerful it can be and take the time to learn it, and it's actually for developers, especially in the .NET world, the learning curve is extremely low because everything in PowerShell is based upon .NET. Everything is a .NET object. If I go create a variable, for example, I go create a variable of $high equals hello world, $high is a .NET string data type. I've got access to all of the methods and properties of a string.
Oh, interesting.
So I can say, you know, my variable .length equals two upper, two lower. All of those methods are available to me because I'm inheriting them from the .NET string.
Interesting.
Class.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so everything you work with is some type of .NET object.
So the Pluralsight course, it's completed. Is it published yet?
It should be going any day now.
It's been submitted and turned in. So by the time this is published, it should be published.
Yes.
And we're where are we now? October or something? 10th, I think.
Yeah. So I've actually got a Bitly link online. Everybody knows me as Arcane Code. ARCANECODE.
That's because your initials
Arcane. Yep. So if you go to bit.ly/ACPluralsight, that will take you to my author page. And then if you scroll, you should see it at the very top when it's published. And then if you scroll down to the bottom on the Pluralsight page, there's a little link down at the bottom that says free trial. So you can actually get a free 1-month trial to Pluralsight and go sample you know, either my course mm-hmm. or other people's courses that are out there on the Pluralsight website.
Robert, thank you so much.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. I love coming to conferences like Dev Spaces because it lets me talk technology with my friends.